Blog Talk Radio.
They creep and crawl all through the night. Stealing your hands. They scratch and bite. You search the shadows and find the shivers. The midnight magic.
Well, good evening, and welcome to this Friday afternoon edition of Cryptid Studies Institute Radio. I'm Johnny Henderson, your host, and hopefully with me, as always, is my son, Elijah. Are you there, Elijah?
Oh, I'm here, baby, and I'm ready for the show.
Tinkling for fun, I see.
Absolutely.
Tonight, we have got a guest for you, Matthew Delph. And I am not going to spoil his introduction. I'm going to let him give it himself. But this man has over 20 years of boots-on-the-ground experience. And he's going to tell us all about his research, what he's got going on in just a few moments. But before we get started, I'm going to spring this on Elijah real quick. Elijah, I understand there's been some confusion about our old website before the relaunch and the reboot. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes. We used to be going under a website as cryptidsi.org. We are no longer affiliated with that website or organization, but we are now using cryptidstudiesinstitute.com. That is the official one. But it is in construction,
yes, and
so please bear with us.
Cryptidsi.org. Facebook page, again, no association to ours. That one still is attached to Chasing Night Shadows, both great organizations, Cryptid SI and Chasing Night Shadows. We wish our friend Nathan Davis all the success in the world with that.
Absolutely.
But we are currently Cryptid Studies Institute. So without further ado, is Matthew on the phone yet?
He is. Let's go ahead and welcome him on.
Big
Matthew,
welcome,
can you hear us?
Matthew.
Hello. How are you guys?
How you doing,
man,
brother?
Man, it is awesome to hear from you again. See, we just met Matthew a few weeks ago up in Harlan, Kentucky, I believe it was. And Matthew is a fascinating individual. Matt, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Tell everybody listening.
Yeah, I was a total skeptic, didn't believe in Bigfoot or anything like that. I grew up, believe it or not, even with my southern accent, but I grew up in about an hour south of Chicago, was born and raised up there in Indiana, small town, had an encounter up there that changed my life forever, and that's what prompted my whole research and trying to get answers. It's at over 20 years now. The biggest part of it at the beginning was just trying to comprehend what I was dealing with. It's something that just completely changes your life. What had happened was it was the weekend before Thanksgiving, and this is what got my whole research started. It was weekend right before Thanksgiving, and I was 21. I always deer hunted in this one area my parents used to live. It was, the house was at this dead-end gravel road. Waterways, there was the Wabash River, Tippecanoe River, and they met there, and they called it River Junction. just outside of Lafayette, Indiana. Nothing but wilderness around. Was born and raised up there. We'd hear sounds. We'd hear different noises. I mean, but after a while, you kind of get used to your surroundings. You've never seen it, but you would, you know, you would hear these animal screams, nasty smell, and we didn't know what it was, but it kind of, you know, as you're growing, if you grow up around it and it's never bothered you, then, you know, you just kind of adapt to it and don't think much about it. You're just like, oh, that animal's around. Well, my whole research started. It was, that, like I said, the weekend right before Thanksgiving, 1996. And my parents had already moved down south. And I was still up there in Indiana. And the area that I hunted, I'd still go back to my parents' old house and hunt. The area that I hunted, to give you a, kind of a visual, it was on Sugar Creek. The creek was right behind the house, dead end gravel road. The land that we hunted on was surrounded by hundreds of acres owned by a doctor that never let anybody hunt there or anything like that. And I've got, you know, always hunted after these trophy bucks. Grew up in the woods. Never Bigfoot, never crossed my mind. If it did exist, it was something out west, you know, or something in the Himalayas. But that afternoon, that weekend right before Thanksgiving, changed my life forever. And the area, you cross the creek, you go up on this little plateau, and there was cedar trees, and there was a trail that went down to the creek. And I would always hunt on this, it's really thick up there. And I would hunt on this one deer trail. And you had to be pretty close to that trail to even see anything coming. Started out like a normal afternoon. I had my spot cleared out. It was a sunny day. Remember, like it was yesterday. Went out there, had the leaves moved out from the area where I sat at. And I sat out there, and all afternoon, no activity, nothing. Started to get dusk, and I was like, well, I better get back home before it gets too dark. So I get up, and I'm 21 at the time, you know, think I'm fearless, you know how you are whenever you're that young, think that you're invincible.
Absolutely.
Well, I got up and I get my stuff, and this smell come through the air. And this smell, I smelled it before, but just associated it with some sort of animal. Didn't know what, but that smell come through the air. And it smelled kind of like a rotten hay. If you've ever smelled rotten hay, it's a dirty, nasty, musty smell. And it had come through the air. And I smelled it. I was like, okay. Well, I heard a couple sticks start breaking. I was like, uh-oh, maybe a doe's coming through here. I'm going to have a buck trailing her. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm got my gun up. I'm looking and waiting. Well, the movement gets even more. As it gets closer, I start seeing these trees start shaking. And I'm thinking, okay, there's a buck. Definitely got to be a buck trailing her. He's going through whatever to get to her. Well, then they really start shaking violently. And I'm hearing sticks pop. It sounds like sticks are falling behind me. I turn around. I kind of look. I didn't see nothing. Don't know if something was being thrown behind me or what. But as I look forward again, I'm waiting. I'm like, all right, you know, I got my gun up. I'm like, I get to pick which trophy buck these two bucks are probably fighting over, this doe, all that racket. Well, all of a sudden I heard this scream, It's a high-pitched scream with a growl in it. And I'm like, okay, that's that animal. I've heard it before, but didn't know what it was. And it had never been aggressive like that. We'd heard screams, stuff like that in the woods growing up, but never that close or aggressive. So I got my gun up. I'm trying to look and see what this is. And then it starts shaking the trees even more, and they start snapping. They start snapping these trees. They're shaking like crazy. I'm like, what in the world? You know? I'm like, what is this thing? As it got closer, there's a little gap between these cedars, and there's some saplings, and it's kind of tall grass, and it's the other side of the game trail that I was hunting on. As it moved through, it was less than 30 yards away from me, but it was dusk, and I see this bipedal figure. It reminds you of an orangutan, and as it was kind of like a glide as it moved in that little opening through the trees. If you've ever seen like a bag blow across a parking lot or something, that's how it kind of glided right across through there. And I was like, what? You know, I'm looking at this, and it reminded me of an orangutan. It was probably in between 7 foot tall. The hair was dark. I couldn't tell because it was dusk. I couldn't get a real good look at the face, but I seen the shoulder, and I seen the hair kind of coming from the head down to the shoulder and the arm as it moved, and I couldn't see below the waist. I could tell it was walking, though, because you seen, like, legs move through the grass, and it had the long hair hanging down from it, and I was just shocked. I was scared, but I was confused. I didn't know what I was looking at, and it let out this scream. I mean, it goes right through you. And as it got in between these trees, it looked like a shoulder moved. And this stick, probably about 3 foot long. And it was probably about as big around as the end of a baseball bat. And it went end over end, went flying past my head. I mean, with some force. If it would have hit me, it would have done some damage. And it let out that scream and that roar. And I said, forget this. I'm out of here. So I take off running down the trail. I'm scared to death. I'm like, what in the world is this? And as I stop right before you get down to cross the creek on the trail, I turn around and see if it's chasing, see if I'm going to have to shoot, what I'm going to have to do. But it wasn't behind me. But it let out that scream so it could still see me. It knew I stopped. And it let out that scream with that growl in it. So I took off after that, and I went and a buddy of mine, I was staying with him, and I come in that evening, I sat down, he's looking at me, he's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, what do you mean? He said, I can tell something's wrong with you. I said, you're not going to believe it. He's like, what do you mean? I said, I seen something out in those woods. He said, oh, I believe you. He said, I've heard those screams. I've hunted out there with you. He's like, what'd you see? And I'm like, I don't know. A monster, you know. I didn't know what it was. And it had affected me that it changed. So the past 20 years, I have been obsessed with this. It will not leave you once you have an encounter like that. So that's what got all my research. Everything started in the cryptid field. First couple years, I was learning about wildlife. I grew up hunting, fishing. Even whenever I was younger, I would trap with my dad. He would take me along. So I pretty much knew the basics. But as I wanted to know more, I'm like, you know, I have to figure out what this animal is. And then, so then, that's when I start taking wildlife conservation courses, learn how to track, just trying to up my level of, you know, knowledge. And that right there, basically what started it all, that got me going here the past 20 years. And I've came, gosh, so far in the past 20 years that, you know, I don't know how to explain it. It's, you kind of laugh at people that don't have a clue of this stuff that's out there. You know, they'll tell you, oh, that don't exist, and you kind of laugh at them, you know. You're like, you have no clue. But that right there is what jump-started my whole research.
That's an amazing story. I mean, really, it is. I can imagine that was terrifying.
Yeah, it was. It was life-changing. Definitely life-changing. Kind of put a chip on my shoulder because now it ran me out of the woods and I've never been scared of anything. And
once you encounter something like that, it's hard to be afraid.
Yeah, that's true. I've tracked bears up to the tree that they've been in within just a couple feet of me. But I want to see this. The thing, you know, I want to see its eyes. I want to see it eye to eye. It might kill me. It might not, but that's the whole quest. Definitely the whole quest.
If anybody can understand what you're saying there, brother, I surely can.
But after that, I mean, after I learned how to, you know, you have to start out with the basics, you know, to identify your different animal sounds, your different tracks, and so on. And that was the first few years of my research, was basically just getting knowledge more of the wilderness. I started out flesh and blood, thought this thing's flesh and blood, but through the years I've come across things that, you know, you scratch your head on. You've heard, as some people call it, the woo. I always try and prove everything with a scientific backing so that it's, you know, scientifically, a lot of this stuff that they call the woo, it can back up, you know. I went from the whole Bigfoot to pretty much just a cryptid researcher. I've come across so many different cryptids through the years. I used to do it solo and kind of just done my own thing. And then a few years back, I went to a Bigfoot conference. It was over in Harlan, Kentucky. It was before I'd met you guys. And there was a group of guys there, and they were kind of local. And I had joined up with them, went out a couple times, and they all had a little group. Well, they had quit after they got into it and they kind of fell out off and on, so they just quit. So I started running Mountain Empire Cryptid Research Organization myself, and it's helped. It gives, you know, people report sightings to me. Anything, you know, it helps me get report sightings, and it helps them let stuff off their chest without the ridicule. People can talk to me. Same reason I do these conferences, because I like to see people. They'll come up to me and they'll talk to me about their experience, and you can just see a huge burden lifted off of them. But that right there is basically what got me started in all this. You name it, I can probably
never
talk about
back,
it.
I imagine.
Nope.
But, and have you ever had any more encounters?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, have you ever had any more encounters since then that were quite as intense as the first one?
Not as intense. I've seen them through thermals. That was the only one that I've actually seen more in the daylight hours. I've seen them through thermals. I've had encounters where they've been throwing rocks. I've got seen, you know, all kinds of footprints, tracks, stuff like that. A lot of stuff I can't really talk about. I've been doing a lot of research this past over the over the summer and spring with some individuals that are, they are pretty secretive, kind of give you a little bit of a detail. What I'm talking about is they, some of them get paid to do it for a living. So I've had to sign disclosure forms. I can't talk about what we've seen, where we've been, and so forth. If you get,
oh, we understand.
You get what I'm saying? They've got a,
yes,
they've got a backing. They've got a backing that you know, I can't really talk about. But some of them, I've been out there with some of them that are being funded. And if you follow the money trail, you know where it's coming from. So we know that Big Brother knows that Bigfoot exists and these other cryptids as well.
Let me ask you some questions about some other cryptids, because it seems like every day there's some new cryptid being sighted. Have you ever heard of, and you can say yes or no, have you ever heard of a fleshgate?
I'm sorry, what was it? A flesh?
A fleshgate.
A fleshgate. No, I've never heard of that.
That's something that seems to be popping recently. Up. We don't know that much about it either. What about a rake?
Yeah, I'm actually been doing a lot of research here lately on a rake.
Do you suppose that is something real, or is it something from a creepypasta?
I think it's something real. Where there's smoke, there's usually fire. It's come from something. But I'm thinking it is something out of this world. I've heard of a rake. I've had reports of a rake actually in Kentucky that had got into it, just tore apart basically a dog man. So if that tells you anything, these things are...
You got to be something vicious to tear apart a dog man.
Yeah, exactly. Because
I thought that it was the apex predator on the block.
Yeah, exactly. I did too. See, I didn't believe in any. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, you're good, brother. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I didn't believe in any of these other cryptids. And till, you know, as the years went on and I start coming across these things, and it's like, wow, okay, this is not, you know, your typical, this is not a Bigfoot, not a Sasquatch. And my research partner, we kind of cross over now, is Angelia Shear. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with her, but she's the director of Tennessee MUFON, and we do the alien Bigfoot connection with other cryptids. And some of the stuff that she has seen, and she shows me evidence. We, like I said, we research together. We, you know, cross-reference things with the Bigfoot alien connection, UFO sighting connection. And she's really good. She just actually won the Researcher of the Year for MUFON this year.
Let's see if we can get her on the show, Elijah.
Yeah, she's a good one.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, she is really good. She, me and her are real good friends and research partners. But you come across stuff like the rake and stuff. I believe these things are alien related. It's interdimensional. I used to not ever believe in the portals and stuff like that, but I've come across stuff now that it'll just blow your mind away. It's like a totally different level. I'm sorry, what?
Go ahead.
I've seen something interesting on Facebook the other day. I've been meaning to contact him back. A fella says he hit something with his car that looked like a rake. And I've been meaning to write him back about that.
Yeah, see, I don't know if these things are... I'm not sure what you guys believe. But I know for a fact now, I think that they, like for Bigfoot, I believe it's a flesh and blood. I believe a lot of this stuff is all flesh and blood, but they are high energy beings. They are high energy, if that makes any sense.
Yes, sir. We definitely lean towards flesh and blood in most cases.
Yeah, it's they're flesh and blood. Anything that leaves the evidence like it does, you know, we, with the energy, the whole, that's where my research has gone up another notch. It has went from just checking for these animal things. Now I've gotten into, you got to go into the quantum physics side of it. And if you look at it, okay, you've heard the eye shine in all these cryptids, right?
Right.
They're self, and a lot of them, it's not shining, it's self-illuminated.
So a bioluminescent thing.
Yep. So you have got to have some sort of high energy to produce that light.
It makes sense.
See what I'm saying? So it's, that's why I think, have you heard of people getting zapped? Like by a Bigfoot?
We've heard that a few times, I believe.
We've heard of pinging. I don't think we've heard of zapped.
Oh, my mistake.
Okay, a zap, people will talk about how they get really sick, they get weak, disoriented, they'll break out in a sweat. Whenever they come around these Bigfoot or Sasquatch beings, they feel that they'll just get sick. I mean, just basically have to sit down.
Yes, I've heard of that.
If you look with science, you can prove some of these animals produce infrasound, like tigers and elephants, and they send out that infrasound. And if a human is exposed to too much infrasound, it will make them physically sick like that. So,
almost like a sound wave weapon.
Yep, exactly.
Right.
And I believe that's what these things are doing. That's why I'm saying I think that they are a higher energy being than what people, they're like, oh, they can't do that. That's woo. No, but scientifically, I mean, we've got animals that can do stuff like that, you know. They got the sonar, the infrasound. Look at a platypus, you know. Its bill, it uses, goes off the energy of other animals to get its prey. You know,
kind of like a shark with the ampullae of Lorenzini.
Exactly. Yep. So you can prove all this with science. And a lot of people are like, oh, you know, but you've come across things that, like, I found tracks that have gone and then all of a sudden just stopped. You've got, like I said, where some people talk about that, you know, the cloaking, stuff like that. I'm not real sure about that. I've never come across anything cloaking.
I haven't either. I've heard people talk about it. Well, what about the Wendigo?
Yeah.
I know growing up, the Wendigo was almost said to just be a spirit, like a spirit of madness than cannibalism. They come over a person. But now, for whatever reason, there seems almost to be a physical manifestation. Are you finding that as well?
I've had reports of it. I think a lot of that is falls into your paranormal.
I'm wondering if they're running these rape things and being confused with it.
They could be. I'm not real big on the belief of like a Wendigo, that a person can shape shift or anything, but I believe it might be a some sort of paranormal, you know, like a demon type being. I don't know how to explain it. Like, for example, say, you know, it's just a, because you've heard of the witches and stuff like that, but I think they're just pretty much just empaths that, you know, they've real sensitive people. I don't believe that they can curse or anything like that. I think a lot of that's just folklore. But it's always interesting. Same way with the Wendigo. I think if a Wendigo, if it does shapeshift or anything like that, it's more on the paranormal side or alien.
Because I even wonder about the Rakshasa or a fetch. Have you had any dealings with either of those?
No. What is a fetch? I'm not familiar with
a
that.
A fetch, I mean, that goes all the way back to the Celtic land that kind of jumped upon when people immigrated from, like, Scotland and Ireland to the United States and got into the highlands of Appalachia. A fetch is oftentimes like a person will see almost a spectral form of themselves, like a doppelganger. But if they see this thing, it's almost always prefigures them dying. They call it a fetch, like it's coming to fetch them.
Hmm. That's interesting.
As of
I wonder,
the word's almost died out completely anymore. But it's an old, you find it throughout the Appalachian hills and hollers, you know. Some people still remember what a fetch was.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And as of recently, we've been seeing a lot of stuff that, like, doppelgangers and things of like that nature, hearing a lot of stories of stuff of that nature.
That's kind of interesting. I've been a lot of here lately researching. I've noticed, I always look for common denominators in certain subjects, and as you've seen, you know, where these people come up missing just out of thin air and stuff, just
yeah, like
completely vanished. Yeah, exactly. And like the Dennis Martin case up in the Smoky Mountains, which I'm going to be heading out there this week, his family had met another family out there in the woods, in the park there, and their last name was Martin, the same as his. And they start playing that little boy, then all of a sudden he just disappeared out of nowhere. And I'm sure you guys have heard the story that, like, an hour away, a family hiking, seen the little boy over the shoulder of a hairy man running bipedal. But their last name was Martin, the same as the family, which could be coincidence. But I've come across other things of where people have been out. I can't really talk a whole lot about it, but I know
right.
One incident that a group was out in the middle of nowhere. Nobody should be out in this area. Nobody. And this person had wandered into their camp, their base camp, and they thought that they were drunk the way they were acting. But the funny thing was, is they said their last name was the same as the person at base camp. They gave the same last name and was acting
That's
really
bizarre.
Strange. Yeah, trying, and they knew what they were doing there. And it was really, really awkward. I'm coming across like other things where hikers are coming across people that meet people that act weird, and when they ask them who they are or what they are, they've got the same last name. And I've been looking into that a lot. Yeah.
Well, now, Matt, can I relay a story to you? And
yeah.
I know we're here to interview you, but I want to run this by you. We're about to do a nightmare nugget on it. That's our little mini documentaries we do. When I was a kid, I was probably 3 or 4 years old. We stayed at my Aunt Myrtle's place. She lived out in the wilderness, out in the country. You know, a lot of times we'd be out playing, and you'd hear these creatures. Now that I'm older and have experienced it, I know what they were. They were like Bigfoot hollering, but we didn't know what they were when we were little. They didn't really know. They'd tell us, they'd say, y'all stay close to the house. Don't go in the woods. There's a Bob Wouster in the area today. because they just made up a name. They didn't know what to call it. Well, we'd hear these things hollering all the time. But one day when they weren't out hollering, the most of us kids went out, and there was like a big muddy puddle out in the woods, and we were like making mud pies. And my cousin Ginger, she was just a year or two older than us, come walking out of the woods. She's wearing a white dress, and it's like a nice go-to-church dress. And she kept trying to get the rest of us to come in the woods with her and go further in the woods and play. And we wouldn't. We was just happy playing in the mud, making mud pies, throwing mud, all this stuff the kids do. And we just kind of shrugged it off. She turned around and walked back in the woods. When we got done playing, we went back to the house, and the car come to where the older people were, come driving back in. They'd been in town all day. Guess who was in the car and been gone all day? Ginger.
I'm hearing cases of stuff like that a lot.
And nobody's ever been able to help me figure out a good solution to what that was. So that's why I'm wondering, was it some sort of a fetch, not of me, but of Ginger? Was it some sort of a Rakshasa, or was it something else? I mean,
and you didn't add
have any
the
idea?
Fact that they found part of the white hose in the bush later.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. As we got out there and went back looking, and there was like a piece of the white pantyhose that she was wearing in the bush.
Hmm. Where me and Angelia work together, she's told me about these alien beings, like cloning, trying to be human-shaped, but they're basically learning, you know, how to act like a human. And
right.
Kind of curious if that's not what's going on, that they can read you. That's how they get your last name, that they can draw, you know, and try and draw you in to take you.
Like maybe alien abductions.
Exactly. Because where Bigfoot activity and your UFO activity, usually they usually fall together. One example, I think it was 1976, it was in Pennsylvania, there was a big UFO outbreak, and then if you look back through, and then there was like 276 cases that year of Bigfoot sightings. It's like they go hand in hand. What it is, we don't know. We think we're right there on the edge of trying to figure this out, but you can't quite. I think we're dealing with more than one. I think it might be more.
I think you might be right.
I think it's maybe some alien activity. I've heard of different theories of where the Bigfoot are alien hybrids, and you have your regular ones that are just a flesh and blood, and then you have the hybrids that travel through portals, stuff like that.
Now, would you think the Gugwe is kind of a hybrid?
It could be. It definitely could be. But then again, I mean, you've got, for example, you've got your different, kind of like a Bigfoot, you got your different species, I think, kind of like with a dog. Kind of like with a dog is what I believe. And then, you know, you've got all these other cryptids, like Dogman. I've never encountered one, but I know you guys are at kind of your guys' area right there, the whole dog man. I got a lot of questions about that to ask you guys. But, like, I'm going to turn this around. Do you believe that there's a connection between the dog man and the Bigfoot?
The honest answer is I don't know. I think it's kind of strange. I never believed in dog man until recently, when there's just so much overwhelming evidence that the thing exists, exists. There's doctors and lawyers and police officers and government officials and all these people that are seeing these things, people who know what an animal is, you know, that knows the difference if something was a hominid or if it was canine. I don't know if they're related to each other, but I think it's very odd. I even recently had a report of like a pack of dog men killing a Bigfoot.
I believe I've heard of when they're like a big war or something reported between the dog men and the Bigfoot or something like that years ago.
I have heard something like that. I've even heard that big feet have been known to steal like dog man pups and kind of raise them and use them like as early detection systems if something comes in the woods. But I've also heard that dog men and Bigfoot hate each other and don't even go on the same sides of the woods usually that the other one exists in. And I've noticed a phenomenon that, like in state parks and such, where dog men and Bigfoot are both in the same park, dog man always seems to appear in the north side of the park, while Bigfoot always seems to stay in the southern part of the park.
Oh, wow. That's pretty interesting.
And I don't know why that is.
I want to get with you later on and do some research because I'm drawn to Land Between the Lakes. That has...
I definitely would like to get you out there. We're ready to go back to another investigation there. But I'd like to get
we want to go back anytime.
Too.
I'm sorry, what?
I was just saying...
I'd like to get you up at Harlan.
Oh. Yeah, Harlan is, I tell you what, man, Harlan, I get a bad feeling up there. I do. I get a bad feeling. It was that day that we were up there at the thing. I was forewarned before I went there. It's kind of weird. I didn't think much about it at the time, but I was told, be careful. They had felt a bad presence there at the con that we were at. And I was like, okay. I didn't think about it. But I don't know, that day, though, that I was there, I was physically sick to my stomach that day. And I go outside, and I would start feeling better. And I go back in, I start feeling sick again. And I didn't think nothing of it. And then as I was coming home that day, got a phone call. And my good friend that warned me said, I told you, I warned you, there was something there that it gave off bad energy and was making you sick. And that kind of blew my mind. But I drove around up to Harlan, that area there, and I've done a little bit of research up in there, and I just get bad energy feeling up in that area.
Well, there's something been there because I found articles and evidence that there were giant human skeletons found in caves there, and I've got the articles that have almost been lost to time in newspapers where they found giant human skeletons there. But I wonder if some of the supposed haunted artifacts that Marcella had, if something there was giving off some sort of an energy that was making you sick.
That could have been. That could have been. I didn't. Because she had those dolls there, didn't she?
Yes, she
did.
Yeah,
she had a few.
I don't know where I fall on the belief in that kind of thing, but, you know, I've definitely heard of haunted objects and possessed objects. So there may have definitely been something that was affecting you. Now, while you were there, you and I were talking. At the end of the day, we were talking to a young lady, and you might find this fascinating. You remember a young lady telling us about a dog man that was coming harassing her uncle's property?
Yes,
I've
talked to him.
And he shot in the foot, and it damaged the dog man's foot and it would still come around. I could hear it dragging that stump of a foot.
I was liking to get a hold of him. He actually had a real good picture of one. He showed me, her uncle. And he said that it had moved a car of his. And he was showing me these tracks. He's like, this is old Three Toes here. But the track that he had showed me was similar to the track of a devil monkey.
Well, this is going to get really weird for you right here, Matthew, because on the other spectrum of the county, there's a family, and I'm not allowed to say too much about it, that's having trouble with, at first they thought it was an Ozark howler, but it has a dog-like footprint, it's three-toed, and the other foot is almost like a semicircle. I think it's what's harassing this family is the same creature that got part of its foot shot off.
That could be. I know the devil monkey was real big through the Appalachian Mountains. I thought maybe the dog man was, just misidentified for a devil monkey because
now,
they're
is that
really
like
aggressive.
A type of Sasquatch?
A devil monkey, it's more like a baboon. They don't get as tall as a Sasquatch or a Bigfoot. But they've got a tail, they leave a three-toed track, they run on all fours and they stand up and walk bipedal. Their face is similar to a baboon. They are really, really aggressive. And they can get in between, I think, standing up in between 4 to 6 foot tall. But I think it's 1934. Back in Pittsburgh, Tennessee, they had a huge outbreak of these things terrorizing the town, and they had sent townspeople, everybody got their guns, and went out and tried to hunt these things down. But it used to be really bad up through here, and I always thought, well, maybe that's what the dog man, people are saying, that the dog man, but
maybe.
The dog man are usually bigger than these.
Well, I can tell you I've got a picture here, a good picture of a dog man that a friend and fellow researcher took, and it is something entirely different from anything I've ever encountered. It looks monstrous. I wish that I could release the picture, but I just can't because it's not my work.
Yeah, it's kind of private research.
Yeah, I understand that, trust me. I wish I could talk about some of the stuff I've done this summer, I can't. I mean, I actually had to sign forms,
We're
these people
very
I'm
well
out
aware
with.
Of confidentiality clauses.
Yep. I couldn't even have a cell phone on. When I first got there, I was letting family know, hey, I made it. First thing they said was, somebody's got a cell phone on, And I've seen some stuff that the human mind, you can't piece together. That's why the government knows about this stuff. They're hiding it. They won't ever. All these Bigfoot researchers, they always say, well, we're going to prove it. We're going to show a body. You'll never do it unless they allow it. You will never do it unless they allow it. It will not get exposed unless they okay it. They will kill you off before they let that get out if they don't want it out.
Why do you suppose they don't want it out?
I think a lot of it is because, well, one thing everybody always talked about, the lumber, you got the logging industry, they lose because it'd be an endangered species. But I think most of it is just because a lot of it is more interdimensional stuff. It is, along with the alien, the UFO stuff, you've got things that I never believed in portals until I seen something. And that's just been here recently. I think it's because you open up Pandora's box, then everybody's going to want to know what else are they lying to us about. Then they're going to have to explain all these other things.
Do you think it ties to CERN in any way?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you think any of these alleged portals tie to CERN?
I don't know.
Are you familiar with CERN, the super collider overseas there that they supposedly tried to open different portals and things of that nature?
That's the one that's down below ground there, right?
Yes, sir. They even opened it with a pagan festival with, like, hairy-looking creatures in some kind of a play as they opened it.
Yeah. See, I think that that's where they're trying to the government's trying to create their own with this energy, and a lot of people. But, yeah, I think a lot of that is with this stuff, these parallel universes and stuff like that. You've got this stuff coming through these holes, and that's why I say, like, some of these Bigfoot and stuff could be, a hybrid, because the energy, you have got to have so much energy to open up that portal. That's what they're trying to do there, where you're talking about, down below ground
right there.
And they're trying to produce enough energy to actually get one to open. I think a lot of it, is similar to that. That's why they're trying to do it on their own. I believe that it's too complex for the common day person to understand. You know, that's why they ridicule all these Bigfoot sightings. Just the whole portal, these different, universes, parallel universes. I mean, if you're trying not to give away too much.
As well with all the overlapping universes.
Yep. I'm trying not to give away too much.
If you get too close to the work you're doing.
Yeah.
One of the most terrifying books that I ever read had to do with scientists accidentally tearing a hole in the fabric of the universe into the demonic realm, and these things were spilling out of this realm.
Yep. Opening up that portal, and different things are coming through it, kind of like at Skinwalker Ranch.
A lot of weird stuff going there. Hey, now, you're not going to be one of those guys out there charging into Area 51, are you?
I'm a lot smarter than that.
I believe it might be a couple of guys get shot if they start trying to charge onto a military base.
Yeah,
that's – people are just – that is so ignorant. That is the most – that goes to show you what the government want people to think, to believe. Your biggest part of the population, I hate to say it, but they're idiots.
They just listen to the movie Idiocracy.
Yep. They believe whatever is fed to them, and that's it. They don't think for themselves. The U.S. government would wipe them out. They would wipe them out in a heartbeat.
And they would be within their legal right, because they are trespassing in a government facility.
Exactly. I don't think there's a whole lot there.
Probably not, but they ain't going to let somebody break federal law to come in and just prove a point.
No. Exactly.
I saw articles this week, and I wonder if you've seen them, that China, and I can't remember, I think it was Breitbart or Reuters, or it was a reputable news organization, is reporting that they are successfully making human monkey hybrids in China.
I've seen that. Kind of like Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, they said that so far they've kept it in the embryonic state, but they do have human ape or human monkey hybrids in embryos. They say that they haven't let any be born yet, but if they've made embryos, they've let a few of them be born, I would guarantee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's like Stalin was trying to do that way back. He had an orangutan, and they was trying to impregnate her, and it wouldn't take. And then this woman had come in, and her husband had been killed in the war, and she said that she was willing to take the semen from an orangutan for them to put it in, that she would be the host for that if they wanted to try it. And then all the reports or whatever, they say stopped. They didn't see nothing else after that. But I'm sure they've probably done a lot more.
Right.
They're not going to tell anybody.
I've got news articles here somewhere, because I've been saving this stuff for years, from the 90s, where they said back then that they had got semen to jump the genetic barrier, semen from one creature to fertilize eggs of another.
Oh, wow.
To where they could have human-animal hybrids, or chimeras, really, is what they would be. So I don't even know where that research went from the 90s.
Probably got scrubbed under the table.
Probably, oh, yeah. I had actually...
I know what I wanted to ask you about. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I had my first run-in with the whole government thing back in 2003. And kind of a funny story was they had a Campbell County there in Jacksboro and La Follette, Tennessee. Do you remember that? Back in 2003, they had for a week and a half straight, they had tons of Bigfoot sightings going on right there. And
I don't remember.
The news. Well, they tried to play it off as it was maybe a circus or somebody's monkey got loose. And they had these people come in. Now, I'm not too far from that area. And my job, I'm an operations supervisor at my job. And so I had guys that worked for me that lived there in that area. And they said, man, there's something definitely going on. And they were talking about black helicopters flying around, stuff like that. So I started talking to them guys, and I'm like, so where are these people, what area are they witnessing these? And I was looking on the news, and it was up behind, there's a lake back in there. And of course, there's a little park, little state park there in Jacksboro, where La Follette and Jacksboro meet there. There's a lake back in there, and they were seeing a lot of it in that area. Well, all of a sudden, it stopped from the news. Wouldn't report nothing else about it on the news. And then when they did, they would put the biggest hillbilly they could find to make a mockery of it. They would put them out there, and they would say, yeah, they would have this woman. She's like, it was out there, and it threw a kitten at me, and everybody laughed.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's how they make a mockery of it, to make people think, oh, them people are crazy. But I talked to a woman. They were going around, and do you remember the skunk ape, the Micah skunk ape they had the pictures of? Well, they had different pictures of different types of, Bigfoot, from, Patty type to they had the skunk ape. They had that picture, and they were reporting that it looked like that. They said, that's it, the skunk ape from down there in Florida. And they matched it to that. And I went in there and started poking around, and I started interviewing some of these witnesses. And they said that the people that were in there said they were the BFRO. And but they showed up at this one woman's house, and they told her that they were, it was the sheriff of La Follette, and he had these guys that looked like SWAT, and they said they were BFRO. And that she said that they told her to put her animals inside, that they was going to kill it. And she's like, well, there ain't no need to kill it. She goes, it's killed a few of my livestock, but it never really bothered. You know, it's been out there for years. And they're like, no, it's a nuisance. We want them all gone. And they went out there and supposedly killed it, is what she said. Whether they did or not, I don't know. But there was reports of the black helicopters, like she said, had took it out in that area. And there was nothing else on the news. And that, after I was down there nosing around, that's when I started getting phone calls asking, they were claiming they were TV shows, stuff like that, asking me, so what do you know, you know, we'd like to do this, a show. We're from the History Channel. We're producers from the History Channel. We want to do a show, follow you around in the woods. Help us out with a storyline. Tell us of an area that you know of. I mean, they were fishing for information like crazy. And
right.
So that was my first whole run-in with the government issue. And then whenever I wouldn't tell them nothing, they would get discouraged. They'd hang up. Then they would call back somebody else a little bit later. And it's happened ever since, but it's quit here recently. And I think I know why, but it's not, you know, they keep an eye on that stuff, and they make a mockery of it. Same way they're doing, I think, with the Mammoth Cave ordeal.
I was going to ask you if you'd heard about that yet.
Oh, yeah, yep. Yeah.
I'd like to go out there and poke around when the flurry of activity dies down a little bit.
Well, see, the whole story on that, they kind of made that gunman. I have not heard his name yet.
They gave his name. I can't remember what it was.
Well, I know they've got the couple, and they put them on there, and they said that he was walking around their camp, and they said that he told them he was looking for what destroyed his camp, and they heard some whoop sounds. And he started going, he went in that direction of them. Then that's when they heard gunshots. But then they said that there was no evidence. They didn't see no evidence. The only monster out there was that man with the gun, you know, kind
of
laughing and joking.
Of course they didn't say that.
But if they heard the whoops, then obviously they had to, if they admitted to hearing
they had
that.
Activity.
Yes, exactly.
The Sunday before this story broke, we had a gentleman call us. He had heard us on the Venomous Fringe, and he called us to tell us some information, share, you know, one of a program that he come up with, but to tell us that he had had an experience with either a Bigfoot or a dog man, he wasn't sure which, in Mammoth Cave Park.
That's
so there's definitely something going on out there.
Yeah, that's 412 miles of cave. That's just what all that they have mapped out or discovered. Who knows how much more? That's a lot of area for stuff to be moving around. You know it? 412 miles.
That's just underground.
Yeah, exactly. That thing, it could be going, you know, anywhere. But I like how they tried to put off that they were the BFRO in that. Now, I'm real familiar with the BFRO. I'm not a member. I wouldn't be a member. But I've got my own group. But I do a lot of, like I said, my stuff. I don't like to have to follow their rules or whatever. But I've been out with some of the BFRO expeditions. And what showed up there in the fall, it was not BFRO.
Right.
That's for sure.
You know, Matt, we've got something coming up that maybe you'd like to be a part of. We have rented an entire summer camp, 48 cabins, bathhouses, meeting halls,
dining hall,
everything.
smoker.
Yeah, a private dock, you know, for like canoeing and stuff like that. We rented this thing for a 5-day Crypticon next July.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we'd love to have you involved in some capacity.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. I'd definitely.
And, you know, we could go out on some night excursions because, you know, it's right in a park where we've had activity before, or it's close enough we could go down to LBL. But 48 cabins, and there's just a huge amount of stuff we could do there. The last couple of days, we could open it up to the public. But, you know, all the researchers that wanted to get together and just spend 2 or 3 days researching together, sitting around telling horror stories or research stories.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You just let me know the date, and I'll mark it down on my calendar.
July 1st through the 5th.
Excellent, definitely.
We're really excited about them.
Yeah, we're really excited. We're trying to put together a committee of people to help us plan it and organize it, make it just the biggest, best thing that this part of Tennessee has ever seen.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, count me in.
Well, all right.
I love going out researching, too. I do a lot of research.
That's a good spot.
Good. I'm going to do
a
lot of
research. Yeah, the place that we saw 4 Big Feet one night in a foggy area.
Well, I wasn't part of that night, but...
Now, how many have you guys actually visually seen? Have you ever seen a dog
fog? No, but we're pretty sure that our first real encounter was with one. Because we were in this area called Werewolf Springs, and you know, things usually get a name like that for a reason, and there's a legend goes behind it. But we're in this park, and a train goes by in the distance and blows its whistle, and when it does, man, this creature just starts howling. I mean, it sounds like an 800 or 1,000-pound wolf, and it just would sneak you inside and out. So we're pretty sure that's what was in that park. We originally thought maybe it was a Bigfoot, but we've never heard anything else that even come close to that sound. And we've reported a lot of Bigfoot noises and never heard anything else. So whatever it wasn't a Bigfoot, it wasn't a natural animal.
That's pretty interesting. See, I've heard, I work with a local vet around here, and they'll let me know, like, if livestock has been slaughtered, and I call this one area Horse Kill Road, because 2 horses last summer were just slaughtered, basically, out there, and had 4 witnesses that reported they didn't see, you know, what had actually killed the horses, but full-grown horses, you know, something that kills them is pretty aggressive, pretty nasty, but...
Right.
They had reported to me that they seen this animal. It jumped. It was in the road, and they had to stop, and it looked at them. And they said the closest thing that it resembled, it wasn't a wolf. It wasn't a bear. It was bigger than a dog. It wasn't no mountain lion. But it resembled a hyena, but it wasn't a hyena. They said they don't know what it was. They said that it was super fast, and it just bolted. Now, I tried to get on that one man's land. I was wanting to see where the actual horse kill site was, so that way I can track what came in and out of that field. And that old man, he wouldn't have nothing to do with it. He wouldn't let me on there. He said, I don't need no circus out here. You know how some of them old-timers get.
Right.
But he wouldn't let me. But I have heard like a howl down through there, and it set coyotes off like crazy. So I'm not real sure yet what I'm dealing with down there. And it's so thick down there, and there's a there's a creek that runs along the edge of it there. I think something's just uses that as a it basically uses the creek as a like most Bigfoot stuff like that, they use these waterways as routes. And I think that's just one
right.
of the stops it as it passes through. Because I haven't heard nothing else yet about it this year. But last year they had the two horses killed within like 3 weeks of each other. And they were like just a mile apart, two separate farms. And they were just a mile apart. And I asked the DNR guy, and he told me he didn't know what had done it. He said that it was just a bloody mess. He said, and this is what kind of caught me. It was funny because he told me that it had killed it. He said it snuck up on it and got it while I was drinking because they found it dead in the pond. And I said, no. I said, a horse don't know when there's predator around. I said, a horse will go to water to escape a predator because most predators will not go in the water after them.
It was trying to get away.
Yes. And whatever this was, it wasn't scared of the water, and it got it anyhow. It wasn't scared of the, you know, the pond water. So that kind of cuts out, you know, a mountain lion.
Yeah, they don't like water at all.
No. Most of the time, I mean, I've seen some cheetahs, stuff like that, you know, over in Africa try and get some stuff like an alligator or something, but they usually try and stay along the edge of the bank or, but your main mountain lion normally don't go near, you know, a water source. And that's where this horse went to because it knew it was there and it went into the water. And he's like, but he told me he didn't know what it was. He just wrote up as a bear attack. He had no clue.
Oh, wow.
They just wrote up the bear attack.
Well, Matthew, we are out of time. We are actually over time. We're the live show's done stopped, and we're in overtime. We're going to have to burn this off and post it later to get the whole show out there. But in closing, can you tell us a little bit what you've got on the burner that you've got coming up?
I'm going to be doing a lot of field research here coming up. I'm going to be in the Smoky Mountains this week. I've got another area. It's an undisclosed area. I've had some activity here this couple weeks ago. I'm going to be doing some more research in it. I actually found some 17-inch tracks out there and had rocks thrown at me out there.
Oh, wow.
Going to go back out in that area next weekend, but this week coming up I'll be doing some research in the Smoky Mountains because I had a lot of reports out there. But I've got the Cherokee Comic Con. We'll be speaking at it over in Cherokee, North Carolina. It's coming up in 3 weeks. Travis Walton from Fire in the Sky, he's going to be there with me. Angelina Shear, my research partner, they're going to be there talking
UFOs.
We met
Travis. That's an awesome dude.
Yep. Then I've got the Georgia Bigfoot Conference in October. Got the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference the weekend after that at the end of October. But got a lot of events going on, but nothing but research in between then. And if anybody has any sightings or reports, and I'd like to get back with you guys and try and do some research out in the field.
Yes,
yeah, you ought to come down
to
some of our
now.
Research areas sometime.
Yeah, I definitely want to hit that area. I'm drawn. I'm telling you, I'm drawn to land between the lakes.
Yes, anytime.
Yeah, because we've had maybe Bigfoot activity there, and we've had dog man, we believe, activity there. And we've got a con
awesome.
Coming up on September 8th in Kentucky, or 7th and 8th in Kentucky, so we're looking forward to that.
Okay, which one is that? Is that the
Crypticon?
Is that the? Oh, okay. Yeah, in Frankfort.
It's in Lexington now.
Oh, is it? Okay, then I may.
Yeah, they moved
I'll
into
probably
a big facility. Yeah, well, I hope too. We'll have a table there.
Awesome. Yeah, come see us.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'll definitely keep in touch with you guys, and maybe you guys can come down here and do some research with me also.
Now, where
That'd
exactly
awesome.
Are you?
Huh?
Where exactly are you?
I live in the Cumberland Gap area, just on the in the Virginia side, right where the Kentucky, Tennessee, and Virginia all meet in together there. And
yeah, ironically, you might like this. We had a cop write us about 2 months ago to let us know that there in the Virginia area, he said he can guarantee us that he has an upright painted problem wandering around there.
Oh, wow. Yeah, definitely interested in that.
He said he was a deputy sheriff. He didn't come right out and give the exact location, but he said that he definitely had a problem there. Or a creature, anyway.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely want to look into that, then. Because I do a lot of traveling, too, but anything close to home, then I definitely want to jump right in on there, because it's not that far for me to go. Easier for me to research, too.
If we wasn't so busy at work, we'd spend probably 80 or 90% of our time researching and filming.
Well, that's me. That job thing, it's interfering in our monster hunting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's a shame a man can't figure out a way to make monster hunting his occupation.
I know. Yep. Well, I thank
I
you guys for having
Elijah,
me on the show.
I want to go to Land Between the Lakes and put him in a cage filming and come myself to see if I could get something to come after me. Of course, my wife says no, you're not
cage.
Doing that. Yeah.
I've done a lot of, been doing some research in that area. I'm drawn to that area big time. I'm going to have to get with you guys, and we're going to have to do some research and tracking down in there.
Man, it's an interesting
area. Oh, I'd love
it.
Very soon, we're going to go down there and check out another couple of sites and then try to go back and camp in those sites, you know, kind of scout it out in the day and find a good place and go back.
Yeah, definitely.
Know where my evacuation routes are if I have to get out.
Exactly. Yeah, because they're dangerous. That's a lot of people think that these are, they're not friendly like people want to claim.
No, they're not friendly forest folks.
No, they're not. Very aggressive.
And it seems
that dangerous.
Time goes on, they get more and more aggressive.
That's true. Yep. But, yeah, we'll
Matthew,
definitely keep
friend,
in touch.
It has absolutely been a pleasure to touch base with you again. Thank you for doing the show. We look forward to working with you in the future, doing a lot of research together. And, Elijah, I'm going to do something tonight that I normally forget to do. Do you have anything that you want to add in closing? I know you're pretty excited about the first T-shirt that we got today.
Yes, we just got a first shipment of glow-in-the-dark T-shirts, so that's really cool. We're trying to remake a lot of our older Nightmare Nuggets so we can put them on a DVD at some point, remaking them from the ground up. And other than that,
I
reckon
make them better.
Yeah, I want to make them better. And other than that, I reckon just, Matthew, thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you guys for having me.
Sir, will you have a good rest of the weekend?
Okay, you too.
All right, brother. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Well, Elijah, that's another one in the books. And until next time, this is Johnny and Elijah at Cryptid Studies Institute Radio. Just saying, you know, stay groovy, guys. Bye-bye.
Stay groovy. Take care.